1949, I preached one of my very first revivals right here in this building. That's 28 years ago. And to come back and see you here and be with Brother and Sister White, whom I've loved dearly for all these 14 years they've ministered here, and preached 6 camp meetings in your district, and to be with Brother and Sister Law and the Wittsteins and all of you wonderful people, and especially the good Lord. If he weren't here, I'd run out of here tonight. I'd have to have him here. But I tell you, the devil tried everything in the world to keep me away from here tonight. Sickness and tragedies and different things, but I said I'm going to be in every one of those services if I can just plead the blood. Thank God. I don't know how preachers that get out of town, really. There's always so much happening that makes it almost impossible to get away. But it's so good to be here. I remember some of the messages I preached here. The withered hand, God's strange act, some of those times we had together. And you know, in those days, we'd pray folks through at midnight. And that's when I had shoes that had no soles on them, and I had cardboard in them, and folks would see me praying that way and buy me a new pair of shoes every once in a while. Boy, that's when $40 a week was big money. Amen. I'm not forgetting the day of small things, and I've come back to say thank you. This is a homecoming to me. Oh, the great times we've had worshiping God. How many were in those revival days in 49, 50? Look at here, the people still going on with the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Some of you look different now than you did. Oh, you got my picture there. Yeah, I remember you. Out in the country. God bless you, Brother Crow. Got that picture there. Well, can you imagine? 1949, 28 years ago. Isn't it a sight how young I'm staying? Oh, my. Some of you haven't changed too awfully much. I see some dotted around here that I recognize. But it's so good to see you and to be here and to preach for you a while. Actually, it's been a great journey through the years. A lot of things have happened. I told our folk the other night in our church, I said, I'd like to write a book on my life, but nobody would believe it. So I guess I won't bother about writing the book. Some things have happened that have been almost unbelievable. Great victories and great tragedies. But you take it all and mix it together, and all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Brother White, I appreciate the sweet, nice things you said about me tonight. In fact, if I ever start believing that, I'll sure be in trouble. I appreciate that expression, though, really. And to be here in this church and know this is a one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost bunch of people here tonight, all you pastors and preachers, tell you, I just need to get out of the way here and let the Lord take over, because God's going to do something this week. Welcome to our roving camp meeting. Load up your vans and get your buses out. We're going to take Louisiana by storm this week. Down at Kinder with Brother Clark tomorrow night, and then on over to De Quincey and see how Brother Bennett's making it. Got to go check on him. And then back to Oakdale. My, some of the fellas came out of there. Brother Ferris, Brother Timothy Creel, Brother R.E. Johnson. Why, I used to take those fellas riding in my convertible. They all thought I was backslid because I had a car with a rag top. Oh, I'll tell you, we've had great days. You just asked me about Hornbeck, too. I can tell you about that. I left Manny one time going down to De Quincey, and I was going too fast through there. This patrolman over here, he'll forgive me for saying this. They put up a roadblock. Stopped me out there. I went through Hornbeck, didn't even know it was a town. They had a storm the night before and knocked the light down. I'm telling the truth, and I was going too fast. They brought me back there, and the mayor was the policeman and the judge. I think he was a dentist, too. I don't know. But he said, preacher, you're going too fast. You're going to pay $15. We're going to put you in jail. I said, well, here's the money. I don't have it. I'll go back to Manny where I came from, get some more. So that's where part of your offering went, 1949. Time they got through with that story, though, it was exaggerated, all out of proportions, and I've been thrown in jail, and I said some bad things to the policeman and everything. But isn't it wonderful to be talked about? I'd hate to be ignored. I guess I've been lied about more than about anybody I know, but it'd be awful just to be completely ignored. So if you have friends who trust you and believe in you, they don't believe all that stuff I hear anyway. Amen. I had a preacher come up to me at General Conference and said, you better stay out of Hornbeck. They're still after you there. I said, no, they're not. I paid my fine there. And all worked out fine. All right. God love you. Would you stand, please? We're going to preach a while. That's what this is all about here tonight.
I know Brother White enough to know he loves the Word of God, and he wouldn't want us to just come up here and talk. He wants preaching tonight, so let's turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I want to preach tonight for a while on the subject, the great I was, or the great I am. Let's say that together. The great I was, or the great I am. We'll have to make the choice. Look at verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the third and mighty. Is that what it said? Oh, you Bible scholars caught me there, didn't you? The half of mighty. Is that what it said? No, sir. He says, I am the Almighty. You know who was doing that talking? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. In case you don't know it, we believe in one God. I want to clear that up right now. But we're glad to have all you Trinitarians here and everybody else that's here tonight. We don't care what you are, just so you change. Amen. We want to see every one of you get baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. That's why we're here. So you may be seated, and I want to preach on the subject, the great I was or the great I am. Some few days ago, shut in my time of prayer in the stillness and quietness of the moment, I dreamed as a dreamer of dreams, and I saw the multitudinous of people as they passed by with their feet throbbing by the modern churches of today. If you can get up on Sunday morning and go to your church and pass the other buildings with the great congregations assembling, knowing that what they're going to hear and feel will be absolutely nothing, and not let your heart go out to those people, then I think we need to pray. If this world only knew what was going on in the United Pentecostal buildings across America and around the world, you couldn't be able to keep them away from the house of God. In fact, one of our preachers said he had a vision one time that so great will be the revival in the end time, so many sick people will be healed and so many dead people will be raised. Yes, I'm going on out on the limb, because out on the limb is where the fruit is. And he said, it's going to happen. Cancers are going to fall off, blind eyes are going to be open, and crippled legs are going to be straightened out, and crutches are going to be hanging all around the building. But as a result of that, the preachers are going to be called down to the church 2 hours before service time. The people can't get in. It's packed and jammed. We're going to have 2 or 3 services on Sunday night and other services to accommodate the crowd. Not only that, you'll have to run an ad in your paper here in Manny and say, for reservations in the United Pentecostal Church, please call this number. Because every seat is booked for the next 3 weeks. And if you want in, you better call now to make a reservation to get in a Pentecostal meeting. You laugh at that tonight, but if God will do what He says He will do, and if He does what He can do, we'll see those days come. Hallelujah. Thank God, because I'm here to preach tonight that there's not only a great I was, but I'm preaching a Christ for the 70s. Thank God. I'm not here to entertain some nostalgic memoirs of yesteryear. I thank God for the revivals of 49 and 50 and for the time that the old tent was pitched on the hillside over here. Folks couldn't sleep around here, and they'd wake us up at night and have us to come out and pray for them 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Those were great revival days, brother. Baptizing folks and getting the Holy Ghost and devils cast out. Those were great days, but God wasn't just then. He's right now tonight. Right here in Mary, I feel His power and His presence. I want to talk about the great I am. Let's say praise the Lord. Look at the modern church that I had this vision of, this dream of. Beautiful. But you know one of the shocking things you're going to learn about religion? Everything that has a steeple is not the house of God. And everything that puts up a cross is not the house of God. In fact, one of the most astounding things, and I don't want to violate anybody's doctrine, but I want the freedom of the pulpit tonight, and I know that Brother White wants me to take it. It's a strange thing, you never see a cross with a body or a corpus on it around the Pentecostal church. Now, you will see that in all Catholic churches and hospitals. And the reason why you see the body still on the cross is that their theology teaches that this, every time the Mass is conducted, that Jesus is literally crucified over again. We don't put His body back on the cross. We believe it's all right to have a cross, but for heaven's sake, keep His body off of it. Because He died once for all. Oh, hallelujah. He's never coming back to die again in anybody's town. Praise the name of the Lord. So that modern church listens to the sound of the footsteps as they stomp by. The milling, grinding, moving masses going to the broad way of destruction. going to the office, going to the shop, going to the work, going here, going there. As you fit, heading for the fishing trips, going to vacation, going here, there, and somehow the modern church is trying. And God has revealed to me tonight in a very individual way and told me to share it with you. Why the people are not coming to the denominational churches? Do you know that the denominations are losing attendance almost every year? That the church that's taking the world today is the church of power, the church of the presence of God, the church of the Spirit, the church of the name. So they move by and the modern church tries. But God says, what are you doing to try to get those people to come in? And they try with every bit of power they have to get them to come in to the modern church. And they try with their singing. They'll put the squeaky voice in the choir. Even some of them will have a 200 or 300 voice choir. They'll have a $35,000 pipe organ. They'll have the finest trained musicians. And they'll open the doors wide and say, oh, please, a young man and young lady and boys and girls and mamas and daddies and your grandpas and grandmas, come on in. There's hope for you. Oh, you giddy throng, passing by the blinking lights, making your way to destruction. Come. Come in where religion is, because we have a story to tell you. And they sing their story. But what is it about? They sing the doxology. And they talk about the faith of our fathers. And they sing about how firm a foundation. And they talk about yesterday. And they talk about the great I was. That's all they can preach about. Any church that doesn't believe in miracles, they have to preach about the great I was. Any church that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they have to preach about the great I was. I'm going to make a vicious charge tonight. I feel divine anointed to say this. There's a reason why preachers preach against the Holy Ghost today. There's a reason why they preach against healing and miracles and Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues today. There's a reason why. And I tell you, it's a violation. It's a charge against God. It is telling me that Jesus Christ performed miracles in his day, but that he does not do it today. They say, why did he do it? They say that he did it for the cause that he represented, to strengthen his kingdom, to strengthen his cause. What they're telling you, sir, is that Jesus Christ didn't heal anybody because he loved them. That he didn't care about their suffering. That he was only interested in establishing his cause in the earth. I'm telling you, he performed miracles not because he had a cause in mind, but because he loved those people. The scriptures say he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And he is still moved with compassion today. And it's not his cause that he gives us the Holy Ghost for. It's because he loves us. It's because he loves us. And he feels the problem of our heart and the joy of our soul. Oh, praise God. And then the modern preacher tries. What does the modernist preach? He preaches about the great I was. That's all he's got to preach. Nothing's happening today. If you get anointed, you're insane. If you get excited, you're an emotional idiot. If you jump and leap and shout and cry, you ought to be locked up somewhere. There's something wrong with your mind. Oh, it just tickles me when I hear about somebody that's been graduated from 2 or 3 colleges and got more degrees. You call them Dr. Fahrenheit. And those folks that get all those degrees and get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Oh, thank God. That just tickles me. Because you can learn all the book learning in this world. But if you don't have God, you have no knowledge. Hallelujah. Paul said for me to live and to know him in the power of his resurrection is the joy of my heart. So the modern preacher goes to a theological cemetery. Seminary. He went in dead and he comes out dead. He's trained and he knows how to use voice inflection, whatever that is, and vocal ability to relate the stories of Bible antiquity. And here he starts. He says, now, young gentlemen, we shall speak tonight about Bartimaeus. And all of my life we called him Bartimaeus, and then we changed about 20 years ago and started calling him Bartimaeus. I said, what we'll call him next? You know, I remember when I first started preaching, why, folks got the Holy Ghost, they called it just that. They got the Holy Ghost. And now they get glossolalia and the Holy Spirit. And we used to call it talking in tongues, but now it's glossolalia. And it used to be when you acted like we are, you're Pentecostal, and now they say you're charismatic. Boy, I think they changed the name to protect the innocent, really. I think it's just like it always did.
I'll tell you, folks, I'm an old-fashioned fundamentalist. I believe that repentance is repentance. Our baptism in Jesus' name is just that. The infilling of the Holy Ghost talking in tongues.
So they talk about Bartimaeus, how the Lord came by and a great mass of thrilling people moved by. And the old blind man said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They came over to him, tapped him on the shoulder and said, be quiet. You've got to see him. You've got to meet the board. You haven't even filled out an application. And you're over here screaming. Besides that, we don't want a street meeting. And you know what he did? He didn't say, I'm sorry, fellas. You apostles, please forgive me. The scripture say, cried all the more loud. Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. And the modern preacher tells a story. And a blind man hobbles by the modern church. And he's got a white walking stick painted red on the end. And he's feeling his way along the cobblestone sidewalk. And this preacher's telling the story about the great I was. And the blind man looks in the door. And he says, great God, that's beautiful what you're saying. You have good voice inflection. You know theology. And you learn how to tell the story and make your people cry. And even say amen every once in a while. But the tragedy is, preacher, when I walk out of this door, I'm still going to be blind. Because you're preaching about the great I was. Hallelujah. Well, then the preacher in another church starts talking about the leper. You know the story. 3 points about the leper we all make. Incurable, separated from society, unclean, you know. And then the preacher tells about it. I heard a preacher one time embellish his sermon about it until it made me want to go to a leper colony and try to get some of those folks healed. I felt so sorry. Had a black robe on every time he met somebody, raised his hand and cried unclean 3 times and had to go over in the ditch. And even then, some people he met would turn around and go back. By the way, I read in the paper the other day where somebody in Dallas has leprosy. Could be an epidemic breaking out in these last days. Anything's liable to happen today, folks. But you see, this was a terrible thing in Bible days. There was absolutely no cure for it. And every preacher I know has always used that as an example of sin has no cure save through the miracle power of Jesus Christ. And so he tells a story. And people are moved. But all of a sudden the door opens. And a black-robed man with putrefying sores all over him. Highly contagious, not even supposed to be in public. He says, preacher, your sermon is great. Your collar's on backward and you've learned how to talk. But the tragedy is, I'm going to have to walk out of this place and go down the street and take my leprosy with me. And the leper looks in the modern character and says, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the great I was. And when the leper goes, here comes the sinner. And he says, Reverend sir, I've just heard you say that leprosy is a type of sin. And nobody's life is as dark and black as mine. It's all mixed up and messed up and sin is painting my heart like the black ink of uncovenants. And there's no cure for me. I've tried to join. I've taken the preacher's hand and I've signed the card. I've been immersed and sprinkled and dipped and dumped and I've been baked and boiled and waxed and sued. I've joined everything I can find, preacher, but I still have sin in my life. Are you telling me that there's no bonus faith anymore? Are you telling me that there's no experience in God anymore? Oh, preacher, I don't want to come down there and shake your hand. I don't want to sign your church card. I want the Lord to touch me. I want the great Lord, not the great I want. Here comes another preacher. We'll say he's a Presbyterian. They sure preach pretty. And I want to hear Episcopalians pray, especially the way they start. Our Father. Isn't that beautiful? Our Father. I'm not making fun of anybody praying. I'm just saying if you would pray to God instead of people to hear you, you wouldn't pray quite so fancy. Come on, I remember when I used to preach youth camps back when I was young. You'd have a whole lot of kids lining up the altar. They'd look through their fingers down the altar and see so-and-so was watching them pray. Boy, if that little boy was watching that girl pray, could she ever put it on? And if that little fellow, she was watching him pray, oh, he'd get down to business with God. I don't know how many got the Holy Ghost that way, but that's not a very good incentive. And everybody say amen. Yeah. But here comes this preacher, and he starts talking about Lazarus. I remember when I went to Bethany, and I went out there to look at that place where Lazarus came forth from the grave. My, that old cave down in there. And I'll tell you, those preachers can preach that, and it's about the great I was. We're talking about something in a distant land thousands of people will never see. We're talking about something that happened almost 2,000 years ago. I'm not against preaching it, but if it doesn't apply to me today, what good does it do me to preach about it? Everything I preach in the Bible, I read as far as in 1977. Jesus said, I am he which was, but I'm also he which is. Which is? Which is? Thank God. So as he preaches that, here comes a man that joined the church. No power. Now, I don't need to get on this. I'll preach all night. There's one thing I can't stand is formal Pentecostalism. Brother, we just soon go down and join some other church. We're going to act. I mean, this is something when they put you in a straitjacket and say, now, I want a religion, but I don't want any noise. That's not the noise. It's the kind of noise that upsets you. If it were a ball game, it wouldn't bother you at all. But since it's shouting the praises of God, it kind of irritates your human nature and goes against the grain. And so he's preaching about Lazarus. And he makes it beautiful. And Jesus walked up and looked down in that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forward. And if you don't believe this, you're dismissed. I believe his blood started flowing. I believe his heart started beating. I believe he became conscious. I believe that old dead man, my dear mama, went to be with the Lord over 4 years ago. Just sitting there in her chair, sweet, precious Christian. Loved God with all of her heart. Prayed for preacher boy. I was in a crusade in St. Louis one time. About 4,000 people out there, and Mama sat right in the middle of them. And she wrote me a letter when she got back to Michigan. Said, son, when you walked out on that stage, I was so worried about my little boy. Said, I thought, how in the world is he going to do anything in this great big crowd? He's so little. But said, oh, when the Holy Ghost came and the anointing power was there, so I didn't worry about it anymore. So I knew the Lord was going to be with you. And I remember preaching one time on hearing Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth! And just as I had old Lazarus out there with his grave clothes on, I remember my mama weighed about 250 pounds. She just came up out of that chair. And those big old arms began to praise God. Mama sleeps in a cemetery in a quaint little town of Warsaw, Kentucky tonight. That's her body. But yonder in the throne of God, Mother's praying, and she's making it out of the service tonight. And she knows that Jesus Christ lives in her heart. And oh, friends, how beautiful is the story. And Lazarus came out, but that wasn't all. Jesus said, he's not fixed up here. He's alive. He's moving, but he's impeded. There's something that stops his progress. There's some kind of organizational monster over his head. He's got some kind of albatross around him. He can't be saved. I'm not up here preaching against the United Pentecost Church. I've been in it all my life. I'm just saying that the United Pentecost organization is not God, and you should never worship it. Don't ever worship an organization. Worship the God that's in the organization. Thank God. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Don't bind him down. Turn him loose. And they took the grave clothes off. And here comes a man. He was brought up in a formal religion. They never said amen. They never said praise the Lord. They never said hallelujah. And he looks in the door and he says, preacher, you're telling a beautiful story. But you won't let me shout. You're telling a beautiful story, but every one of your members is dead. You know they are, preacher. You're telling a beautiful story, but you got them bound down soft until they can't shout. They can't say praise the Lord. If they operate the gifts of the Spirit, you silence them, preacher. He says, I want to be free. But the modern church can't answer, and he goes right on down. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the same Jesus that did Lazarus come forth as the great I was almost 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus in man in Louisiana tonight, walking up and down the aisle across this platform, and he's saying the pastor, right? He's saying the pastor, he's saying the pastor, I'm letting go. It is not the will of God that you're bound down. Why do you not have the nine gifts of the Spirit? Why have you never given a message in tongues and interpretation? Why have you never had the gift of discerning of spirit? I'll tell you why. You're afraid somebody is going to say something about you. You're bound down. Oh, it was all right for the Bible church. But that's the great I was. But I believe I preach the great I am. God, help me. Something about it fills my cup, just like the ocean is trying to come in my cup tonight. I don't have room to contain it. No wonder David said he poured it out on me, and I got so much I couldn't stand anymore. And I said, Lord, stay your hand. And you know what he did? He had some to spare, and he just kept on pouring. And he poured some more, and David said, my cup is still on the side. God, your power, God, that's blessings to give you that you've never received. Then here comes the great oratorical evangelist. Notwithstanding the indictment against Billy Graham, all of his conversations, don't you get mad and walk out of here till I finish. He's been begging money for years. I've heard him say on the hour of decision thousands of times, if you don't send us finances, we can't continue. All the while at $23 million in a secret fund. I'm not saying he's dishonest personally. I'm saying he counseled with the ungodly. That's what the Bible says these fellows do. They counsel with the ungodly. They make business of religion. This is not a business, it's a bribe. I said, this is not a business, it's a bribe. And I don't mean to offend any of you, but I'm just telling you, nobody anywhere in the law was ever saved by making a decision for Christ. In fact, Jesus said in John 15, ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you. When you say, brother, here's how I made my choice one day. Why did you make that choice? You're not saved tonight because you wanted to be saved. No man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. You're in here tonight because Jesus went looking for you. He searched you out. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You didn't make a decision for Christ. He made one for you. He knocked on your door. That's why we don't mind getting baptized in his name. All right. So this man is preaching a great sermon. I heard him one time on the calming of the sea. How Jesus stepped out on the bow of the boat. Let me show you some of the words he used. And when he said, peace be still, the snowy spray of the billows coiled down at his feet. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, that's great. I mean, I'm not against that. That's beautiful. But here comes a man, open the doors. Hey, preacher, you sure preaching beautifully, but I'm in a storm right now. I'm having trouble right now. My home is breaking up. I'm an alcoholic. I'm on dope. My life is a wreck. I want that man on my boat. Is he still alive today? What's he doing in 1977? Are you hearing me, preacher, tonight? The choice is yours. Is he the great I was, or is he the great I am? All of a sudden, we move into the third chapter of Acts, and here are men who have the unmitigated gall and the audacity to stand up in a public service and preach from Acts 3:1, how that Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer and met a man lame at the gate, and he was there begging alms. And Peter and John looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they tell about the man getting up and walk. And then they turn around and say, but there are no miracles of healing today. So here comes a man dragging his crutches along in front of the modern church, and he hears that beautiful sermon about Acts 3 and the gate beautiful. Let me just pause to say right here, you can sit by a million-dollar building. It's not the building that saves you. It's the Jesus name that's given to you by one of God's servants. In the name of Jesus, that beautiful gate didn't make the man feel one bit better. But that name, that power that's behind the name. Aren't you glad you've been baptized in that name? Thank God. So, they tell about it. The poor crippled man looks in and says, preacher, it's a beautiful story. But the way you preach it, I'm going to hobble on down the street. And I'm going to drag these old crutches. And you're going to hear the clang and the drag of them along the sidewalk. You go on and tell about the great I was, but there's nothing for us today. The mighty rushing wind has vanished. But then you find the true church, and I'll tell you what you'll find. We preach the things that Jesus used to do, but we pick them up nugget by nugget, and we span the centuries, the Inquisition, the Reformation, and we say whatsoever he did then, he will do today. For Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. My human nature would not let me pull away from Brother Sam Schindeldecker today in room 330 at Spahn Hospital in Corpus Christi, Texas, in the sparkling city by the sea, with his tears rolling down his face and him begging me, "Don't leave me, Pastor. I feel something bad is going to happen. I need you to stay with me." And I walked away and got on a plane and came to Manny, because I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The same God that healed his grandfather many times. This is the grandson of G.B. Rao from Mishawaka, Indiana, one of the old-timers. And he's in our church now, this young 31-year-old man. Just a month ago, adopted a beautiful little Korean orphan girl. And here, he's facing death. But we're not going to accept him, because we believe the way I am. Hallelujah! There's something about the great I Am that does something to me tonight. I'm not preaching the Christ of yesterday. I'm preaching one tonight. I've struggled with this, as Brother White has said, for many years with men. Great theologians, great experts in theology. But they've never been able to shake the fact that God said through his prophet in the last days. And that's what these are. In the last days. You find the church that preaches that, and you'll be all right. In the last days, said God, will I pour out my spirit. And you believe that verse. Don't you believe these modern preachers. You believe what Joel said. And you find the church that believes in the last days. Let me tell you how last these are. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. There are going to be seven Jews in the pulpit of our church in Corpus Christi. We'll not be able to seat the people. The police will be out there directing the traffic. Brother Hitch, are you going to have Jews in your church? Yes. You know why? They're going to sound the shofar and call our city to the worship of Jesus Christ as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You find a church that believes that. God told Moses when he called him, said, "You go, first tell my people to pack up, we're going out of Egypt. Then you'll go before Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go." And there was one thing that bothered Moses. He said, "Lord, I will go down and address the people." Now remember, they had no PA systems like we have here tonight. It always amazed me. I'm sure you preachers have wondered how men like D.L. Moody and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, these men, could speak to 50,000 people without a public address system. Really, it was remarkable in those days how they could get their message over to anybody, whatever. But think of Moses calling all the Israelites together. He must have found the valley where his voice would echo. And he knew good and well what they were asking. If you've been talking to God and we're going out of here, the only way you can get out of anything is through the power of a name. And we want to know who it is that sent you to tell us to pack up and go to Canaan. And sure enough, that's the first thing they ask. Then who sent you to us? What's his name? If you're going to get us out of here, we're going to have the name of God. Moses said, "I'll tell you who sent me down here. The I was." He says, "The I am." Praise God. That means, Moses, if you get out into Egypt and you need a healer, you look up and say, "Lord, are you?" And God will answer back from heaven, "I am." If you get in bondage and you need a deliverer, you look up to heaven and say, "Are you, Lord?" He'll answer back, "I am." Myself in the Lord. Not long ago, I looked in the mirror and I said, "Is that you? Is that really you?" And I said, "You know, there's nobody here to lift me up. I feel all alone. I feel sorry for myself." How many of you felt sorry for yourself? Am I some psycho or you felt sorry for yourself? Right? I'll tell you what you do. Do what David did. Encourage yourself. You're not a bad old boy after all. Come on, don't underestimate yourself. You're a child of God. You tell them the great I Am. Anybody believing in the religion of yesterday
What about a religion of the 70s? Anybody could reminisce about 1949. I'm talking about 1977. I'm talking about a God that's doing the only way. I'm talking about a God that's the same yesterday and today and forever. A God that brought us through the Korean War. A God that brought us through the Vietnam War. A God that's going to keep his hand upon his church and bring us, hallelujah, to Moses with the fourth patio.
And that's the first thing Pharaoh said. Who sent you down here? Wouldn't Pharaoh have left Moses down if he'd have said, well, the I was. The used to be. The God that was a long time ago sent me down here. But there was something about it when Moses said, the I am that I am sent me. It took old Pharaoh to his Sunday school roots. Knocked off his bow tie and messed up his hair. And he started shaking under the power of God. There's something about the devil hates that declaration of the I am, the presence of God. Pastor White knows I'm telling the truth. Brother Law knows I'm telling the truth. If the devil can get you to believe in the God of yesterday or the God of tomorrow, he's won a battle. I'm talking about he which was, which is to come. And I'm talking about he which is right now, tonight. He is here.
So you come in our church. What do we say? I'll burn my foundation. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. We are having a revival today. People are living in a better... Oh, this is my kind of religion, folks. I've gotten the Lord Pentecost. Thank God I love this country. What do we say? It is all in him. I never heard that song. It used to all be in him. I never heard it sung, someday it'll all be him. But we sing it, it's all in him right now. Glory to God. What do we sing? We sing it's all in him. We sing Jesus is the healer. The world don't believe it, but Jesus is the healer. And he heals on time. He heals the sick, and he raised the dead. So there's no need for you to dread. Jesus is right now the healer. And he heals on time. Hallelujah. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Some time ago a fellow told me that the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God in the Bible, was for the early church. But that when the apostles died, all of these miracles ceased. Because the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 were... according to 1 Corinthians 13, only the childish things that brought us to full manhood. And once the church grew up, there was no longer a need for these little childish things like healing cancers. Mm-hmm. You say that, mister, but if there was one chewing on you right now, you'd change your tune. All of a sudden, the gift that was childish to you in your doctrine would suddenly become the crowning joy of your heart. Oh, God, let me tell you what 1 Corinthians 1:7 says. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 through 20. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying, that your bodies may be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a theologian to know that saying in the simplest of terms, the gifts are to be in the church until Jesus Christ comes again. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out the devil. They shall speak with new tongues. Not used to, but they shall. And he that cometh to God. Oh my, look how long I preached. I grew up as a child of a Pentecostal pastor. I hated two things, preachers and long sermons. It's kind of like the fellow said 30 years ago, I couldn't spell preacher, now I are one. But why did I hate preachers so much?
I suppose it was because, and I'm serious, I had an animosity for them. Everyone would drive up to preach, and my dad had gotten mad at them. Because I knew until they left, I would have a chicken wing. That's all. Nothing else. They'd get the drumsticks and the pulley bones. And all they were going to leave us kids was a chicken wing. And not only that, we'd have to wait. Somewhere in the time from my childhood till now, it's changed. The children eat first now, and the parents wait. Huh? A lot of things have changed, too. But that's, whatever it happened, I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is that we've grown up now. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. And I've gone too long, but I'll try to stop now. Martha is a typical example of what I'm talking about. Lazarus was dead. Jesus waited 3 days and finally walked up. And you know what she told him? Oh, Lord, if thou hadst been here. You see, she believed in the great I was. Well, Jesus said he's going to live again. Oh, Lord, I know he's going to rise at the resurrection. Now she went way on 2,000 years ahead.
Yeah.
He's going to rise again.
Yeah.
But Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, I am the resurrection. My friends, if your pastor, if your evangelist, if our preachers can get the people to believe in what I preach tonight, we'd see the greatest revival sweep this world. I'm not naive to his tricks. Every Sunday in my church, I preach under strain because I listen to the devil. And he says, there's no need of preaching tonight. Nobody will be saved tonight. Nobody will be baptized tonight. Nobody will be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Isn't that what he tells us, brethren? The people have been preached to death. Isn't that his language? They've heard so many sermons, they just want to worship and go home. And then a soul is sitting there, needing God. And it's like the carrot before the rabbit. We're going to have revival someday. Oh, yes, the Spirit of God's going to sweep Manny someday, and you're going to have 100 new souls. That's right. But it's going to be way on down the line. That's what the devil's going to tell you. But I came to tell you tonight that the great I Am, the great I Am is here. The anointing of God is here. The power of God is still here. That's why I love that verse in Psalms 23. A lot of folk quote it, don't even know what they're quoting. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Right now, he's with you. You may be just a heartbeat from death. They could carry any one of us out of here feet first. Some of you are just a heartbeat from the eternal destiny that your life has bound you to. The great I Am is here to loose you and let you go. And he that cometh to God, the first thing you're going to have to do, mister, whether you like the preacher or not, you're going to have to believe that God is right now. Everything he gave us in his Bible, it's not a menu that every product's been marked out. I guess I'm a little fanatic, but everything that happened in the book of Acts can happen right here tonight. He's here. One of the greatest experiences of my life was as a young preacher in a revival crusade. I walked back to talk to natives about God. Somebody asked me, would I ever debate Madeline O'Hara? Absolutely not. There's nothing you can do for an atheist but pray for him. Don't ever argue with him. You can't prove, and you're not supposed to prove, God exists. We're not going around defending God. He needs no defense. He is whether you believe it or not. And he's performed miracles whether you've ever seen one or not. How many have seen miracles in your day? Look at that. How many have ever been healed by the power of God? Hallelujah! How many have been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken tongues? We're still running loose. Hallelujah. I went back to that old atheist. Pastor nudged me on the shoulder and told me, that man really needs God. He cusses every day and he cusses God. He said, I don't believe in prayer. All the people were praying. And he said, not only that, I don't believe in God. I said, I know, I've already heard about you. But I said, you're going to in just a little bit. Looked like I hit him in the face. And I said, do you believe I have a right to pray? Well, I said, of course. Well, I said, certainly you wouldn't stand there and stare at me while I'm praying right in your face. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, bow your head. So while I was praying, he bowed his head. I said, God, you know this atheist
You know, he doesn't believe in you. There's a heart in there that can be crushed, and there's a soul you love. And I prayed along there for a while, fighting with unbelief. And I peeped. How many ever peeped while you prayed? Come on now, just peeped through my hand. And I saw a tear coursing down his face. I knew had it made now, because there was a power beyond my power touching his heart. He's already crying now, and he's praying. And as long as I live, I'll never forget what he said. When we finished praying, he looked up, his tear-filled eyes, and he said, "Hello, God." "Hello, God. All these years, I've never known you. But I just now began to believe." Greatest day in your life, brothers, when you say hello, God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're not here to be heard. As Brother Law said, we're not here to be seen of men. And if we can't get somebody to walk down these aisles tonight and do something about your salvation, I think we've kind of failed and messed things up tonight. Nice things have been said about a lot of us, but the big thing tonight is if there's somebody here, you might be a church member. Now, let me tell you something. Whatever you got in the church you belong to, you keep that. Don't ever let anybody take that away from you. But for heaven's sake, believe that God can give you the Holy Ghost. Will you do it? Believe that God will heal you when you're sick. If you don't believe it, it'll never happen to you. Because as thy faith is, so be it unto thee. But he's right here now. And I wonder if there's a sinner, a backslider, somebody you're cold in your soul, you'd like to come down here. Boys, would you all be sweet enough just to walk back the aisle and just stand in the aisle and clear the place where they can come up here and just stand? I don't want anybody to kneel. I just want you to come up here and stand along the front of the altar. And we're going to pray. Thank you. There's room now for you. Thank you, fellas. God love your hearts. Don't go outside now, and don't go too far outside. Stay in the building, boy. Maybe the Lord wants some of you boys to turn around and come back up here and pray. Let's pray now. While they sing, who'll be first to just step out and come down the aisle right now? All right. Come on, quick. Yes, he's here right now. Will you come, who'll be first to just stand right where you are and come down the aisle? I want to shake your hand tonight. It won't save you, but we'll join with you in prayer across the front here. Most of you are Christians. I recognize that, but there's a sinner here who needs the great I Am right now. You got a weight of sin on you like a ton of bricks, and Jesus wants to deliver you tonight. He wants to loose you and let you go. Pray, Christian. All of you sinners, would you call on God? Is that a backslider? Somebody's away from God. You'll come tonight and say, "I want Jesus in my heart." Will you come quickly to the front? Please hurry. We're not going to wait long. Come on, mister. Some of you have preached 2 years ago. I preached to you in camp meetings. You've heard the message. Tonight is your night. Come quickly. Who'll be first to break the ice and walk down the front? That's it. Keep on crying, folks, and pray. Something great is happening here right now. Something mighty wonderful is taking place in this moment. Will you come quickly to the front? Who'll be first? Somebody just stand up right where you are. Hurry. Hurry. Time is running out. God places his time clock on the windowsill tonight. He says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's sun may never rise. Now is the accepted time. Will you come on now? Come on, young lady. Come on, young man. Daddy, mama, you're not far from death by nature's path, and Jesus comes to rescue you tonight. Quickly step out right now. Please hurry to the front. We want to pray with you. Boys, girls, where are you? We've made room for you by faith because we believe in the great I Am. Pray, folks. We're being challenged tonight. But God is here. Something good is going to happen tonight. Hallelujah. Something great is going to take place tonight. Keep praying. We're praying. Oh, God. Try Jesus tonight. Come on, boys and girls, mothers and daddies. Will you come quickly to the front? Come on, boys, girls. I know it's crowded, but you can make your way out. Come on down the aisle right now. Is there someone right now with you? God bless you. Let's pray, folks. God bless this man. takes a man to do what he's doing. God, love you, sir. Just kneel right there and pray. We'll stand for you right there. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody that has a burden for souls, come up and pray with him. You come pray with him. Just come and get around it. Some of you folks, just a wife, brother, wife. Who else will come up? Will you come quickly? Please step out right now. Come, my sister. Come on! You'll be next to come down the front. This is my life! The great I am is here tonight! Oh, God is here tonight! Praise God! And pray! Be filled with this prayer! Somebody else! Somebody else! Come quickly!
Right here in the car.